Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Happy Father's Day to all of you listening this evening. Thank you for spending your Father's Day evening with us and our awesome guests. First hour again, we want to thank the lovely Tiffany Johnson for joining us. And again, remind you that tomorrow night, Monday the 16th, you can check out the premiere of Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal on A&E immediately following Intervention. And right now, this is a great pleasure for us to, we've been a friend of this gentleman for the last 2.5 years here for our show and to watch the things that have happened for him. And now that he is the star of the new show on A&E, Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Mr. Chip Coffey.
Dave Schrader.
How are you, Chip?
I'm all right. Are we going to talk in low voices today?
Yes. Today we're going to be spooky.
Your best truck pull voice here, Chip.
Hey, now. All right.
This is going to be Evil Skip.
Yeah, Evil Skip. Skip yeah. Coffee.
That's my alternate personality. When I'm really bad, I have to pull out Skip.
Well, hey.
I said I was pulling out Skip. Yeah. I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Yeah. I think we're going to be using that as a bumper sometime in the future.
I can feel it coming.
Wow, we'll be using that one, too.
Yeah, I can feel that, too.
Okay, Chip, let's talk about your new show. Okay. First of all, congratulations. You had a very successful documentary that was released last year called Children of the Paranormal, or Psychic Kids, and it took you to kind of a little camp with children that had special gifts. And what I really enjoyed about it was that it wasn't just some psychic, you know, forcing their thoughts on other kids that think that they have abilities. You had a clinical psychologist, you had other support staff there with you as well. You guys took care of these kids, you listened to their concerns. It wasn't just about developing the psychic mind, but it was about developing the child. And
really,
you are to be commended for being a part of a great program.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. What I really loved about the program, Dave, was the fact that we did just what you said. We didn't just explore the, if you will, the woo-woo with the kids. We went beyond that and, you know, looked at the entire child, the entire family, and made it a point not to just focus in on one paradigm or one dynamic of the kids. We took a look overall at the children and their families and the society that they lived in. So we examined the kids pretty closely from a number of different standpoints. And I really like that about the show.
Well, I really enjoyed the way that you were able to interact and work with each one of these children, because the one thing that we forget, you know, we see Sylvia Browns, John Edwards, James Von Prague's, Chip Coffey's, and Michael and Marty Perry. We see these adult psychics, and you all seem well-adjusted and in your place. Well, maybe not Sylvia Brown, but the rest of you seem well-adjusted and in your place. And there's just amazing, adult in front of you. But we forget that as a child, this ability can be devastating. This ability could be as bad as being a bedwetter your whole life, in the sense that you feel alienated, not able to open up to people or to be who you are in front of these people. And did that occur to you, Chip, as a child growing up? Were there moments that you were afraid to let people know that you had this ability? And when you did open up that door and let people in, were you met pretty openly, or did you deal with a lot of apprehension, especially growing up in, you know, are you originally from Georgia?
No, actually, I grew up pretty much in South Carolina and in upstate New York.
Okay.
So I had a little bit of a moving around period as a child, and it was not really ever a problem in my family. I had, as you may know, I think you know, but your listeners might not, my great-grandmother was a Native American medicine woman. And that was on my mom's side of the family. And on my dad's side of the family, his mom actually read tea leaves. So when they had a kid who had psychic abilities, when I first started to exhibit those abilities when I was fairly young, they weren't too surprised by that. And honestly, unlike some of the children that we've worked with, the young people that we've worked with, I never really faced any sort of conflict or people, surprisingly, people looking down on me because of the abilities I had. I faced much more of a difficult period with people, you know, not understanding or belittling or whatever my abilities since I've been an adult than I ever did when I was a kid.
With the kids that you're dealing, go ahead, Tim.
Just a follow up to that, Chip. Being that you didn't have a tough time as a child, or felt like you faced much adversity with your gifts, what made you turn around and want to help children? Normally, it would be somebody who had been chastised as a child for their abilities that would want to reach out to other kids and make it more comfortable for them. What is it about yourself that made you want to do this?
You know what's very interesting on that, Tim, is the fact that when I was a kid, very young even, when people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? My first response was, I want to be a psychologist. And they said, a psychologist? And I'm like, yes. And I want to work with young people and children. Now, this is when I was like 3 and 4 and 5 years old, and I had this sort of game plan, I guess, already in mind or goal in mind of what I wanted to do. And I did get an advanced degree in psychology. And it seems like somehow in my life I've always been led back to working with children. My first job straight out of college was working with children in a Head Start program in Florida, first as a social worker and then dealing with children with special needs in that program for 3.5 years. So it seems like always in my life, the path of my life has led me back to doing something with children and young people.
I know you're also empathetic, Chip, and you feel other people's pain. I've watched you at events reduced to tears, feeling the pain and the release that others are feeling when they're getting a reading with you. How does this affect you when you're dealing with these children and what is obvious pain and isolation that so many of these children are feeling?
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking, but what are you going to do? I mean, these kids need mentoring. They need guidance. They need to feel that they are not weird or different or psychologically damaged. One little boy that we did, here's an example. One little boy named Cooper that we had on the camp program.
Right.
He's precious. Cooper is my baby. He is just a sweet kid. But for 2 years, because he said he heard voices, he said he saw dead people, for 2 solid years, guys, he was put into a classroom with only himself, a teacher, and an aide, and not allowed at school to interact with the children there at all.
Unreal.
That's almost abusive.
Not almost. I think it is abusive. That's like, you know, the 100 times worse for like the dyslexic kids that forever were put into classes for mentally handicapped children. And being trapped in a place you know you don't belong and that there's nothing really wrong with you, it's just a simple flip of a switch.
And you saw, if you watched that, and I know you did, if those who watched the documentary that we did back in the wintertime, the fall and winter, Cooper's mom was reduced to tears. She knew there was nothing really wrong with her child, but fighting the school system on how they were going to respond to that and what they were going to do with Cooper, she couldn't fight it. She tried to tell them, there's nothing wrong with my child. And still, they were reluctant to believe that he was a child who was having some sort of a paranormal experience.
Wow, that just breaks my heart listening to it. Let me ask you, Chip, you know, a lot of the people that we've talked to came through pretty well adjusted in that, you know, there was some alienation, but they seem to have, you know, made it through. And yet the kids that you guys seem to be dealing with more. And yet the lid of the paranormal has been ripped off now. Right,
sure.
People are a lot more accepting. They're all outed of the closet of the paranormal at this point in their lives.
Right.
And people are not as afraid or ashamed to admit the abilities. And it seems, I don't know what your thoughts are, but being a psychic and being attuned to this, I'm seeing that there's more and more children that are coming out that are very excelled with their abilities.
Very much so.
Or are very much more aware of their abilities. And why is it that if things are so more easily accepted, are things happening like they did to Cooper?
I really wish I had an answer for that. I don't know. I think maybe it's because they are children. Maybe it's because it's so easy to look down your nose if it's a kid. I don't know. Maybe they're defenseless in some degree. I really don't know. But more times than not, in doing both the documentary and the TV show, there have been, you know, family difficulties with parents or siblings or extended family members understanding that this child is gifted psychically. There have been problems in the schools. There have been problems with the other kids or other families, communities. It's frightening how, I don't even know what word to use, how dismissive or help me out with the word here. It's almost as though they look down their nose at the kids. They fear them, perhaps. I don't even know what it is, Tim. It's just, I know it's very sad when it occurs.
Do you find, too, now with the things that are going on in these children and everybody vying for their slice of celebrity in life, their Andy Warhol 15 minutes, are you finding some of these parents maybe pushing an ability that isn't really there, hoping that their kid is going to be rich and famous?
Luckily, we have not encountered that.
Okay.
We have a team of people out of New York, a team of people out of New York with the production company who actually do a very, very thorough screening of the children that we deal with to, number one, identify the fact that they are gifted, in their estimation, they are gifted, and number two, that there is a need for us to come in and, in some capacity, you know, provide intervention with what's going on there, some sort of education or mentorship or clarity to what's going on with these kids. So luckily, we haven't encountered any kids who seem to be just looking for the fact of, ooh, it's going to be really cool to be on a television show.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I've just been worried that we're going to get those stage moms now that, you know, you better get out there and perform and, you know, really link in. This is, you know, your shot at being famous and blah, blah, blah. You know, I would worry that that would happen.
And I have been concerned about that also, you know, especially since the show has started airing. And, you know, the kids, a lot of the kids are very, that we've worked with, have been fans of Paranormal State. So one of the things I will have to tell you is, with the appearances on Paranormal State that I've done, a couple of the kids that we've gone into had to get over that, oh my God, this is Chip Coffee from Paranormal State thing. You know, I put them right in a place where I'm like, look, you've got to get over the fact that you've seen me on television. You know, we're here to do a job, so don't be looking at this as, you know, somebody you've seen on TV's walking through your door. And the way that I really managed to do that was spending time with the kids one-on-one and just being Chip. You know, just being who I am and not somebody that they've seen on their television screen.
Are there more children coming out that have this ability now, Chip, or is it just that more are able to admit to it now?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's actually a bit of both. I don't want to get too, you know, too preachy or too, you know.
No, go ahead. That's why we're having you here. We want to know your thoughts as somebody in the field. What do you think?
I really think that, you know, as a society, many of us are turning back towards spiritual topics, looking beneath what's obvious to us, you know, scratching beneath the surface and looking beyond the obvious, and really are looking for something spiritual that we can attach ourselves to, that we can feel connected to. And I think that a lot of these children are raised in environments like that and maybe even are coming into this incarnation with that sort of desire, of a desire to be connected.
Are these the crystalline children or the indigo children that we keep hearing so much about, Chip, or is that a totally different breed?
You know, those are terms that I'm not even greatly familiar with. I'm going to plead ignorance on that. I know very little about those two terms. I would prefer to call these kids just kids with abilities, psychic kids, kids who have some sort of extrasensory or mediumistic ability. So I don't know how important it is to really pigeonhole the kids and give them a name of a crystal kid or an indigo kid or anything like that. I mean, just kids with abilities is the way that I look at them.
Are you, with the show, are you guys going to, I mean, we know the first episode was, or the first documentary was kind of about helping these kids socially alter themselves so they know how to communicate and realize that they are part of a community.
Right.
That they're not alone out there. that there is help and friendship, and it seemed that so many of them left so relieved and making friends with each other, knowing that there's other people like them out there. I mean, it can't be, we were joking with Tiffany in the last hour, it can't be that each week has, you know, Chip Coffee leading Kumbaya by the fire and, you know, you guys telling ghost stories and making moccasins out of, you know, fake leather. What are the shows and how are they developing these shows differently than the special originally was?
The way the show differs, the way the series differs from the documentary that we did, we're not doing it in a camp setting. We're actually going all around the country. We went to, gosh, I'm thinking 7 or 8 or 9 states. I don't even remember. We were traveling all over the country doing episodes of the show. But generally what we do is we focus in on our first kid and identify the need. And then we bring that child to kind of what we call a neutral location. Generally, it is a known to be paranormally active bed and breakfast or inn or some facility. At one point in time, it was a dude ranch or a ranch in Arizona. So we bring the kids and family members to a neutral location and introduce them to either one or two other families with children who also have psychic abilities. And the cool thing about it is, as you well know, is the fact that the moms get a chance to interact and learn and grow during that experience. The dads, if they're there and present. So we're doing a whole family dynamic thing with the kids as well as working individually with the young people. So they're brought together sort of in a camp setting, but a more mini version of the camp that we did on the documentary.
Are you focusing more on the individual children each week, or is it kind of the cluster grouping, you know, the group of the kids all at once?
You'll see a lot more individual attention to the kids.
Is it the same kids that were in the first documentary? And if not, do we get an update on what happened to the kids in the first documentary?
You've got 17 brand new kids in the series that range in age from 8 to 19. The oldest young person that we dealt with was 19, I think. Travis is 19 years old. We don't get an update on the kids that I know of. At least I haven't seen that or heard that was going to occur, that there was an update coming for what happened with the first kids in the first episode. So we're dealing totally with a new sort of crop of kids in this series format.
So are we going to get an update then on what happened to the children from the first series?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll do my best. Let me get back to you on that. I don't know for sure. It would be good to know what happened to those kids to do a follow-up on it. I agree with that. I've heard, just so you know, I've heard that most of the kids that were in the first documentary episode are still all doing pretty well with what's going on with them. They gave a little bit of an update at the end of that documentary.
Right.
But that was, you know, that was several months ago, so good point to let the viewing public know that these kids are still, you know, healthy and carrying forward, and what we provided for them during the weekend that we spent with them was a valuable lesson for them and their families and hopefully for their community as well.
I would love to see, you know, there is band camp, there is baseball camp, there is hockey camp, there is Y camp. Why shouldn't there and why isn't there a psychic camp for kids to go to in the summer, Chip, to bond? I think the Chip Coffee camp for young, gifted children should be. You could be the Professor Xavier.
There are those people that would say that I would probably be more like, what's the guy's name in Harry Potter, you know?
Dumbledore?
There you go.
Yes.
Dumb being the operative part of that, you know, statement there. I agree with what you're saying. I think that there should be something that nurtures these psychic kids. A program that does. You know, one of the things that we've been looking into is doing some seminars around the country for parents of psychic kids.
Right.
We've been looking at you know, providing the parents with some insight and education, but the kids, I believe also, I think you're onto something here. I think it would be very valuable to have a place where the kids could go for a sleepaway camp and be mentored by, you know, a different group of people who were nurturing their abilities, where they could have a good time.
Meditation classes, things on that, so they could learn how to focus their abilities and understand them.
learn how to paranormal investigate, all those sorts of things that
they
can.
Very cool. Are you going to do some of that in the series? Is there going to be some investigations with the kids so that they learn how to deal with their... And do you find that most of these children or any of these children are fearful of their ability? I remember there was a young African-American girl who seemed to be terrified. She slept with the lights on and was just terrified of her abilities.
There are a lot of children who are terrified of their abilities. They've got people coming into their rooms at night, and they're just... We have one little girl. Actually, you know, if you've ever heard of the very famous African-American singer Nina Simone...
Sure.
Nina Simone's granddaughter is one of our psychic children.
Oh, really?
So we actually worked with Nina Simone. Nina passed away, unfortunately, a few years back, and Nina comes and talks to her granddaughter on numerous occasions.
Wow, very cool.
Very cool. I think it's terrific. But Rihanna was very frightened of the dark, very frightened to stay in her room. She had not stayed in her room for months. She would cry and sleep with the lights on, and nothing was comforting this child. She spent time with us and two other children. We took them all to a ranch in Arizona. And at the end of that period, she went back to her room, was readjusting to what was going on after spending the weekend with all of us, and empowered herself to where now Rihanna, from what I understand, is sleeping peacefully in her own room with just a small light on.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. We're going to take our first break here, Chip. So thank you for being with us, and thank you all for listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Remember, tomorrow, set your TiVos, your DVRs, or tune in live and watch as we premiere the brand new show on A&E, Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, with our good friend, host, Mr. Chip Coffee.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town. The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to The Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the Edge of Town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. Again, Tim and I would like to take a moment to thank all of the fathers out there and wish you a very happy Father's Day. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of the show with us this evening.
Without the grace of the good Lord and a bottle of Jack Daniels, I wouldn't be here right now.
Oh, nice, Tim.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. We've got on the show with us this evening Mr. Chip Coffee, and he's the host of the new show on A&E that airs tomorrow night. Brand new show. It's called Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. And we're talking to Chip about the special that was filmed last year and the new series that's launching off here tomorrow. This is exciting stuff for you, Chip. Been a busy year, huh?
It has been an incredibly busy year. You know, I frequently tell the story that 2.5 years ago, my spirit guides came through and said what I thought was a kind of a cryptic message at the time. They said, get used to living out of a suitcase. And I thought, okay, what is that supposed to mean? You know, am I going to be traveling a lot? Well, little did I know that for the past year and a half, I've spent an awful lot of time on the road. And that is certainly not a complaint. I'm very grateful and very blessed to have had the opportunities to do the things that I've done, to meet the people that I've met, and be a part of the amazing experiences that have been a part of my life for those 18 months. It's great.
And you're, again, for other people that may not know this, you're also a part of the cast for Paranormal State, which is also seen on A&E. And that series is coming back again this year as well. Is that right?
13 new episodes. Actually, I'm headed to New Orleans this weekend. And then at the beginning of next week, I'm headed for episode number 3 that I'm doing of Paranormal State, 3 out of the 13 I've done so far. So, yay.
Very cool. So you're going to be in at least 3 of the new 13?
At least 3. And if they keep calling, you know, I'll keep going back as often as it's possible.
Very cool. Well, you know, we're wishing you continued success with that. That's a fantastic show. We've really enjoyed watching it here, and it's been great to see you show up on there and be a part of it. And, you know, I'm telling you, you're missing out on a great marketing tool, Chip. We need to see a Chip Coffee t-shirt with the gravestone with just the name Marguerite on it. And because if anybody saw that episode, it's one of the greatest episodes. They did this investigation of this home, and Chip was going through, and he was picking up on things, and he was picking up on some stuff. And the looks on Ryan's face are priceless. Like, Chip, you couldn't be more wrong. there is no Margaret associated with this property, that kind of look and attitude. And then to go out, and here's a little cemetery right behind the house, and prominently featured on the gravestone is the name Margaret, after you'd mentioned it on the show. And your reaction on that is priceless. It's one of the classic moments of paranormal TV, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that was that's right up there with Dude Run.
Yeah, that is. So you've had your own Dude Run moment.
I had my own Dude Run moment. Yes, Margaret. Margaret was, you know, when I saw the tombstone that said Margaret on it, it was like, holy, there's Margaret. We found her.
See, don't you love, that's got to be great for you, too, when you get that immediate validation on something that you're getting when people look. And how often does that happen to you when you're doing readings, Chip, where you do a reading for somebody and they sit there with a blank stare of, I have no clue what you're talking about, and then a week later you get the email, oh my God, everything you said, I found out, and it's real, and I'm doing this, and...
You know, for those people who do get back to me and let me know that something that I've told them, I always will tell my client, you know, hold on to it, just let it evolve, chances are it's going to come to pass. I do get frequently a lot of people that will call back and go, aha, the bells have gone off, the light bulb went off in my head, or it's actually come to pass. And it's always very gratifying when that happens. But you know what, Dave, I'll tell you the truth. It's not me. I can't take the credit for that. I can take the credit for being a good conduit. But that information comes from a source that's so far beyond anything that I can conceptualize of. And I just consider it a real, real blessing when that sort of information or that comfort or whatever can be delivered to someone. If it's going to benefit them, then that's the good part about it. You know what? I try not to let my ego get in the way. You know, I have a healthy self-appreciation for who I am and what my talents are. But if my ego gets in the way, then that's a stumbling block. And I try not to let that occur. I try just to do the best I can, give the information as accurately as I can, and that's all I can do.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about the show again. And again, that airs tomorrow night. The debut episode is tomorrow night right after Intervention on A&E. It's June 16th, so make sure you tune in and check that out. With the kids that you're experiencing on the show, Chip, are there any kids that you look at and you deal with their abilities and it's just knocking you apart? I mean, it's not just like the beginnings or the feeling, but I mean, these kids are powerful with what they have.
There were several of the kids that I think were so far above their chronological age and their abilities. You know, they just bowled me over. Rihanna, Simone's kid, Nina Simone's granddaughter, one of the kids that's just amazing. We had a little girl that we dealt with whose name is Jillian. You'll see her, I think, on the premiere episode. Jillian is just a fantastic and amazing kid. We had a kid who was living in, I think she's in Illinois, and she was being visited by a little boy. I don't want to give away too much, but being visited by a little boy who gave her his name, the date that he was living and everything, and lo and behold, we corroborated her story.
Wow.
I mean, we corroborated her story 100% that, yes, this little boy was real and he existed. And this is an 8-year-old. You know, there's been accusations of mommy prompted the kid or the kid looked it up on the internet or whatever. I don't know an 8-year-old who's savvy enough, or many 8-year-olds that would be savvy enough to do an internet search for a little boy that died well over a century ago.
Well, but you were able to track that information down.
We absolutely did. We did an exhaustive search through census records at local government offices and libraries and found that kid's name. And, you know, it's not a common name. It's just not a common name. And almost the exact date that she gave, and the little boy died at the exact age that she told us that he had said he died.
Wow. Tim, you have a question?
Yeah, Chip, a two-parter for you. One, do you believe that most children are born with the ability to tune into stuff, let's say psychically, but I would say more supernaturally, like, say, a relative that recently passed or getting visions of one thing or another?
I do. I absolutely believe that children are born with this ability, and it can either be nourished or it can fade.
And then that was the second part of my question. It looks like it tends to fade in children as they get older. I only have two examples, and they pertain to myself. I had an out-of-body experience and watched my great-grandfather pass away. But after that happened, I got scared.
And that's what happens. Fear or derisive comments from people not believing or accepting or saying, you can't, parents saying, you can't tell anybody that this is what's going on with you. So really, it's the shame or the fear, I think, that supersedes the ability itself, and the kids just shut down.
And then the second example I have would be my nephew, who actually My sister said she woke up one night. He was maybe 2 years old, two and a half. He's standing in the kitchen, and he's talking to my grandfather. But she said nothing to him to make him think that it was a bad thing. If anything, that it was a good thing, yet he doesn't seem to be able to retain that ability.
I don't know the answer to that. I think that...
Could it be, Chip, that it's not that he's not able to retain that ability, but maybe that's because your grandfather doesn't show himself. Maybe it was a special moment. And, you know, I don't know what your thought is on this, too, Chip. You know, I've had six kids.
Yeah.
And there are times when I've been gooing and guying with the kids, and it's just me and them, and they'll be, blah, 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 and all of a sudden they stop, and they look over my shoulder, and this huge smile will erupt on their face. And they'll get this smile, and they'll just start talking, and not me. It's something over my shoulder or behind me that they're talking to. And, you know, I had a perfect example with my son, Nathan. You know, unfortunately, my grandfather passed away going on 20 years ago, and I was very close to them, but I hadn't really talked much about him to my little guy, Nathan, when he was little, because he was too little to grasp and understand. And I had a specific nickname for my grandfather. And, for today's sake, we'll just call it Papa, okay? To have it. I don't give out the real name because I'm still waiting for the psychic or medium to connect me with him and give me the name that I actually used. But I'm driving in my car, and my son is sitting in the back seat in his little car seat, and he's babbling, and it's just about the age where he's mostly baby talk but saying a few words. And he is just chattering away to somebody sitting in the car seat next to him or sitting in the seat next to him. And he's looking up at about adult eye level. And he's blah, 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 ha, 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 you know, and giggling and laughing. And I look in my rearview mirror and I'm watching him carry on this conversation. And then I go, hey, buddy. I said, Nunu, who are you talking to? And he stops and looks dead in the eye into the rearview mirror. And clear as day, he says, Papa.
Wow.
And he had never really heard that name. Didn't know what it meant, but that's what he said. And then he got a big smile on his face and turned back and just started talking and gooing and guying again. And from time to time would look up at me and kind of laugh like my grandfather was telling him something. So, you know, I don't, but never happened again that I'm aware of, at least not in front of me. I did make the conscious, you know, thing out loud and said, hey, Papa, if you're in the back seat there, don't show yourself to me or we're going to all end up visiting you real soon.
We're going to be together sooner than we think.
Yeah, exactly. So
what did you make of that? That's almost an undeniable thing, Dave.
Right. Well, I've never denied. You know, I believe that I've had contact with both my grandmother and my grandfather in one fashion or another since their passing. So I do very much believe that that is a truth.
Well, you know what I believe? I believe that death alters the relationship or changes the relationship. It doesn't have to end that relationship. Yeah, when my mom died, I'll give you an example. When my mom passed away almost 10 years ago, all bets were off. You know, even though I'm a strong believer in the afterlife and that our souls go on ad infinitum for forever and ever, with my mom, it was a different story. I needed something. I needed to know that she was okay, that she continued on. I got little signs. People told me they had been in contact with my mom, but with her, the game was different. You know, the rules of the game were changed. And I wanted, you know, the burning bush right in front of me. I wanted my mom standing there smacking me up beside the head and saying, hey, you know, I really am okay. And I finally got it last summer in my side yard. My mom fully, in a full apparition, appeared to me briefly in my side yard. So I can't explain how things happen sometimes, but I can't deny that they do.
Right. Well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking of here with Tim, is his nephew very well could have had that and may still have that ability, but nobody's making themselves known to him at this point. Because Chip, you walk into a place, do the spirits automatically know, hey, it's Chip and he can see us?
Sometimes they do. It depends on where I'm at.
Right, but if it's in a new location that they don't know you can see them, and do you sometimes just walk past like you don't see them so that they don't harass you while you're at the hospital trying to visit a friend or relative or somewhere where you don't want to be bothered at that moment?
Sometimes I do, you know, and sometimes I'll just smile or interact briefly and let them know that, you know, I know you're there. If they've got something they want to interact with me on, I'll open up usually and try to interact with them or tell them, you know, okay, save this for later. I think what Tim's nephew, you said your nephew, right, Tim?
Yep.
I think your nephew needs to come to our psychic kids camp.
Okay.
I think when we do our camp, that you were talking about earlier, we need to bring. I think he needs to be one of the first kids that enrolls.
He's one of. He's a. Now a lot of kids say, "Well, my kid is highly intelligent," but he really is an old soul. He doesn't. You know, things come out of him that just you wouldn't expect to come out of a 7-year-old. It's just weird.
I've seen you ask if we had seen any really extraordinary kids, and one of the things I'll tell you is that we had a 19-year-old, our oldest kid that we worked with in Ohio, and this kid, you talk about an old soul, he's got to be ancient, because for a 19-year-old kid, he had such grace and such wisdom that even at 50-something years old as I am, the adults loved to just sit and hear his stories and hear him tell about the experiences he had had. He was quite elevated soul, and he would engage us in stories and discussions that were just phenomenal for someone who was not even into his 20s yet.
Wow.
Wait till you see this kid. He's very impressive.
Well, this is going to be exciting. And again, when you do the show, Chip, what were your trepidations going into something? Were you afraid that this was going to be exploiting children?
I made sure that that wasn't going to happen. It was a concern of mine that the kids were going to in some way be exploited. And I saw the way that the first camp was handled and sort of had some discussions with the producers on how that was going to be handled. And they were assuring me that the parents had reached out to them or they had discovered the parents through an intermediary source. And that these kids and families were very anxious to have this help that we were providing to them. And as I said before, I don't see any of the parents that are trying to push their kids into the limelight or get them on international television. They're really concerned about the fact that their children are in some way suffering because they are psychic.
Hmm. Well, you know what, Chip? We have to take our second commercial break here for the show. So stick with us, Chip, and thank you all for listening and spending your Father's Day evening here with Tim and I in the darkness on the edge of town. For more information, you can check out Chip at chipcoffee.com. That's chipcoffey.com.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank you. Thank you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Try not to fall asleep. We'll only give you nightmares. Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Make sure that you tune in tomorrow night on A&E, immediately following the TV show Intervention, for the new hit paranormal TV show, Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal, hosted by our good friend Mr. Chip Coffee. Chip, like I said, I couldn't tell you how happy we are for your success, and I'm not psychic, nor do I claim to be, but I think that this show is going to do extremely well, and you will be doing this show for quite a few years here, my friend.
Well, thank you. And can I toss this in? Dave, the dots started getting connected because of you.
No, it's my pleasure. You know, I like to help out friends in the field that I feel are good. And I'll tell you what, you not only enamored me with your ability and personality, but my brother, who's a pretty hardened skeptic, you did a reading for and knocked him down. Same with my mom and my aunt. And you've been so kind to the family and giving them readings and connecting them. You know, people that were, you know, believers in of something outside of this realm. And you were able to show them and make a connection for them that, you know, really touched each one of them. So, you know, it's a pleasure when I can see people that have real skills and abilities and gifts and talents. I have nothing but love for you, and you know, would promote you to anybody, anywhere. And with that said, we've got something exciting coming up here in mid July.
Yay!
You're going to be joining us out as one of our main featured speakers and ghost hunters for our event at Waverly Hills.
That's going to be a blast. Waverly Hills is just the bomb.
Now we did that last year in August, and we had a great time. And boy, can you believe the amount of activity that went on in that place?
crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, large groups of people were hearing things, seeing things right in front of them that there was no explanation for. We do have a few tickets left. We're only allowing 100 people on the event, period. So for each night, the way we've got it broken down now, too, knowing the economy is a little out of whack as it is right now, we've made two different packages available, a full weekend package or a full event package, I should say. It kicks off on Sunday night, July 27th. We're going to be going to Waverly Hills. We're going to be having an event at the hotel there, meet and greet autograph session, so you can come meet Chip Coffee, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Mark and Debbie Constantino, the Michael and Marty Perry, all of our great speakers that will be a part of the event. You're going to be there, and you'll be signing autographs, doing pictures with people. You might even make a few readings available from what I've been told at the event. Is that right?
That's a strong possibility.
Awesome. So if you come out, you might have a chance at getting a reading with Chip Coffee. And we're going to also then spend the event. So for the full event, it's only $360, gets you into two full nights of investigations, the autograph meet and greet session, and chance to just hang out and party with the celebrities on Sunday night. And then it gets you into all of the presentations Monday and Tuesday, and two full ghost hunts. Or if you want something for a little bit more of the economy-based people that are looking to save a few dollars, for just $199, you can join us for just one day. You get the Sunday night meet and greet autograph session and hangout, and you can choose either Monday or Tuesday to come to all-day presentations and ghost hunt that one night. So we've made it very affordable for only $199. You can do the one-day pass with the meet and greet and autograph session, or you can do the full package for just $360. By saving for the full package, you'll save over $40 doing it that way. But yeah, we went out there in August and had a great time with our friends John Zaffis, Adam Bly, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Chris Patrick, yourself, Patty Starr. We did some great investigating there. We had a lot of fun experiences. Where would you rate Waverly on the scale of haunted locations? I mean, truly haunted locations.
Within the places that I've been, definitely in the top five.
Yeah.
Definitely in the top five.
You know, I always say when people ask me, what are your favorite places on your trips? I always say I love the Stanley because it feels like a second home to me.
Yeah.
I love it there. Just so beautiful, picturesque, and the activity is always there for us. You know, the Queen Mary, again, because we just love the place. But for activity itself, Waverly, and again, Waverly was the first location on my trips where I had my own paranormal experience occur. So, you know, and it was two experiences in one night. Just for myself. So that was pretty amazing opportunity for me going out here. But you're going to do a talk again on psychic ability and paranormal investigating. So people should definitely check that out. You can get information at darknessevents.com. And you just got done a week ago doing an event with the kids from Paranormal State.
We did. We just this past weekend did an event out on Long Island at, if anyone saw the episode called Beer, Wine, and Spirits, we did it at Katie's, which is Big Brian's Bar, and had a great turnout for that. It was a lot of fun. We were having a good time with meeting and greeting the fans that were there and doing a little investigating and a whole lot of socializing, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, and from everything I've been hearing, it was just a great time. So there might be a couple more of those field trips popping up, so people can check that out. You know, they can always check your website, right? You have updates on all the trips and events.
I do, and on my MySpace. My MySpace is real simple. It's just Chip Coffee. It's, you know, I keep it simple. You know, I use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, and I don't want to have to guess who I am. So everything, most everything about me on the internet is just Chip Coffee.
Now, something else.
I figure when I get old and senile, I won't have to think too hard.
Yeah.
Unless by that point I'm going,
hey,
www.thedave.com.
Well, my phone number, the last four digits, is Dave, D-A-V-E, because I'm in the same situation. I'm the older I'm getting, the less I'm remembering, so I got to just keep it all about me so I know what I'm doing.
and that's a wise move for my part, too. I'm right there with you, pal.
Now, something else exciting that we're working on, Chip, is we're working on a great package of events that are going to be taking place across the United States, and we're going to be doing this with Chip Coffee as well. And we'll be getting out some dates and times on this. We'll be joined in a few different states. Mind if I tell a bit about this, Chip? Is that all right?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Starting off, it'll be a full-day package. It's going to be an awesome opportunity. We'll have one of the local cool psychics that we find in the area that we've worked with and know that, like, if we come to Georgia, we'll open up the show, maybe like Reese Christian, doing a two-hour gallery session from about 10 in the morning till noon. Then we'll come back after lunch, and Michael and Marty Perry will lead a three-hour live gallery session so that people have a chance at not one but two live gallery sessions. Then that evening, we'll have speaker Chip Coffee as our keynote speaker talking about psychic kids, talking about psychic development. And then we'll do a Q&A with the local psychic, the Michael and Marty Perry and Chip for the evening so that you can question and talk to them. And then Chip will be available to do readings that you can sign up for as well at the event. So we're going to be putting those together and working kind of in a new fun direction with those. And we're also going to be working on some events where Chip and this is, again, what I'm really psyched about on your show, Chip, is that you're working with a clinical psychiatrist, or is it psychologist?
Psychologist.
Psychologist who is there to watch out for the benefit of these children and make sure that they are in a good place and help them if they're having meltdowns.
Let me tell you, she is incredible. I have such love and affection for Dr. Lisa Miller. Dr. Lisa Miller is a tenured, let me get this all correct, tenured professor of clinical psychology and department head at New York's Columbia University. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Right.
When you're looking for somebody to come in and really be able to assess the families and the children. And the good thing about it is I look at Lisa and she's got a strong belief in the paranormal and in things unseen, but she's a healthy skeptic. And I, on the other hand, have a degree in psychology, and I'm the one that deals with it. We're kind of like the yin and the yang, but we're both open to each other's position, each other's job, if you will, for what we're there to do. So it's a real good blend of the two of us going in and really working closely with the kids and their families.
Now, real quick, and Chip, I'm not trying to take away from your time, but I have to remember this. Tim has given me the evil eye. I didn't make the announcement earlier. Remember, folks, tune in next week for the first time on Darkness on the Edge of Town. We're being joined by Mr. James Von Prague.
Very cool.
He's going to be here spending an hour with us talking about his brand new book, Ghost Among Us, and his hit TV series, Ghost Whisperer. So check out that. Do you get a chance to intermingle with the different psychic celebrities like that out there in the field, Chip?
You know what? I'm down here with Kathy Griffin on the D-list, and it's fun. It's one of those things, and I'm in good company because I kind of like Kathy. Kathy's a cool kid. So, you know, I've met John Edward, of course, and I've not met James Van Prague. I have actually talked with John Holland a few times on the phone, who is another celebrity psychic, although he doesn't like that word. Sorry, John. I've briefly passed in the same room Sylvia Brown, and she was all right, you know.
Did you smell sulfur at all?
Was that what that was? I'm thinking so, perhaps, you know.
It's either that or Liz Taylor's White Diamonds, but I think they're pretty much the exact same thing.
I think it's the same thing. Eau de Sulfur.
And we, again, thank you all for listening. This is Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show with our guest, Chip Coffee. And it is Father's Day weekend. We appreciate you joining us here. And, Chip, thank you for giving up your Father's Day weekend night and spending some time with us here and promoting your new show that comes out tomorrow, which is Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal. And, again, as I was alluding to, we're going to try to work out an event or two where we're going to be joined with Chip Coffee and Dr. Miller coming out and talking about the psychological aspects and the paranormal aspects of having children that are gifted.
You guys are the best. Tim, Dave, thank you for everything that you've done to help me with my career and my work. It is much appreciated, and I have a lot of love for you guys.
Now, Chip, people, if they want readings, you still offer readings, correct?
Go to my website on the readings and appearances page. Give a call. My assistant, Rebecca, usually is the one who's booking the appointments, but absolutely, I still do private readings, either general readings or crossing over style readings.
What can you do to tell us right now for people that are dealing with children, Chip, that might be special? And I mean, above, oh, isn't he special? I mean, have these abilities. What can you give advice? We have about 4 minutes left on the show. What advice can you give to parents to nurture this and find help?
Finding help is the hard part. I would have to say that. I mean, I don't believe that we've evolved to the point to where there's a lot of help out there from a real widespread perspective. I believe that what you can do is you can love your child above all else. Love your child with every ounce and every fiber of your being, and believe your child if they say they're having these sorts of experiences. Trust that they're telling you the truth. Understand, however, until the kid gets to be about 11 or 12 years old, what we've discovered is a healthy dose of typical childhood imagination can also be blended in with that. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But if your child is experiencing anything that is, you know, frightening or upsetting, then really pay close attention to it.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, Chip. I you know, I'm a father of six kids, and, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator and researcher. And, you know, how many stories have we heard where the kids are seeing this stuff? And I've had experiences in my own home where my son was experiencing things. You know, he used to tell me, Dad, can the guys spend the night? And here's a 2.5-year-old kid. I'm like, what guys? You know, the guys. And I'm like, sure, honey, they can spend the night. And he'll bring me his little toy phone and say I have to call their parents. Now, how a 2.5-year-old knew that I was supposed to call the parents to get permission was weird. So I'd pretend to call and talk to these different parents and get their permission. And he would suddenly come out of his room sometimes after playing in there for a long time by himself and come out and say, Daddy, they need to go home. They're not playing nice. And I never once thought anything of it more than just an overactive imagination for a little guy until he started seeing things and experiencing things that he was able to tell us about in his room. And, you know, it's so funny that even somebody this close to the, you know, forest couldn't see the trees.
We don't begin to understand what's out there. We can't. There's so many things that we can't understand or explain, but we can't deny. And you have to be that way with your children, too, if they're having these sorts of experiences, especially if it's causing them any sort of anxiety or fear, then you've got to pay attention to it. And that's just as Tim said early on, I hope that we evolve to a point to where we nurture these children, which is what we're trying to do with the television show, to nurture these children and begin the process of helping them to understand and develop their abilities and not look down at them, not think that they're lying or that they're freaks or that they're weird.
Well, Chip, I want to thank you very much for spending your time here with us this evening. Much success. And remember, everybody, tune in tomorrow on A&E, directly following Intervention. You can watch Chip Coffee and our good friend Tiffany Johnson in the debut episode of Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal on A&E. I also thank you again, Chip. We'll have you back in the show as the show progresses. And keep in touch, please.
Once again, thank you both, Dave, Tim, you're the best.
And come see Chip Coffee live with us by going to darknessevents.com and signing up for the Waverly Hills trip. There are limited tickets available for that trip still going. I do have a quick announcement. We are seeking families in the Southern California area with paranormal activity in their home. There's a major television production company looking for families in Southern California who are convinced that their house is haunted. We want to help you. A professional team of experts can investigate your home and provide you with the answers and peace of mind you need. Are you a homeowner who's afraid of your own house? Are you or your family terrified by unexplained phenomena happening in your home? Do you or your children hear strange noises, feel cold drafts, experience the eerie feeling that someone or something is watching you? Has somebody died in your home, or does your home have a tragic history? Do your children see or communicate with spirits inside the house? If so, you can get help. You can talk to the casting people, call if you need these answers and relief, call or email as soon as possible. Email at castingcues@yahoo.com. That's castingcues at yahoo.com. Or call 310-903-5525. Again, that's 310-903-5525. Remember to join us again next week. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Next week, our guest, Mr. James Von Prague. We'll see you again. Be safe and happy Father's Day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.